Bible, what's the permanent value of this book, how it connects with all the other books of the Bible. We've been doing this most of 2013, and in 2014, we're going to hit Malachi, and we're going to go all the way through New Testament and into 2014. I told you some are going to be more difficult to understand. Some are going to be more difficult to preach about and talk about. Zechariah was one of those. I encourage you each week before you get here to read those. And you probably come in and say, Pastor, you're right. Zechariah was one of the tougher ones to understand. But we're going to hopefully put this in here and help us understand why the Zechariah is found in the Bible and how it can be a great encouragement. If you listen and if you focus on the eternal permanent value of it, I think you're going to get something out of this morning that you can take with you and help you in your Christian walk. Zechariah chapter number 1, we're going to begin with reading verses 1 through 6 here. Zechariah chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto you, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. The beginning of the lesson is going to be, like I said, it's a little bit deeper, a little bit more maybe to kind of digest, but stick with me. And at the end, I think it will all come about and have a greater understanding of the book of Zechariah. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for each person that's here. Lord, I pray that you just calm our hearts and our minds. It's been a busy season, busy time of year. A lot of things going on. A lot of people sick. A lot of people have some great needs. And Lord, I pray tonight, this morning, that you help us understand and see the importance of the book of Zechariah, the message that we can learn. Lord, despite all the different activities going around, despite all the adversity that we may be facing, that someday, Lord, we can look to what's going to happen in the future and see that you're in control of all things. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I chose a theme verse. It could have been multiple ones like most of the books have. But chapter 1, verse number 4 says, but ye yet not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Let's put us back into we talked about Haggai a few weeks ago. And in Haggai, we learned that this is the group that came back from the Babylonian captivity. They came and their responsibility was to build the temple. They had not built the temple. We'll remind you that they made up excuses why they did not need to build the temple. And we looked at that, and Haggai and Zechariah are both doing it the same time period. They are contemporaries. Now, if we remember what the nation of Israel was like back then, they were discouraged. They were facing great adversity. They had said it was not the right time to build the house of the Lord. They faced opposition from other enemies around them, and they made up excuse after excuse after excuse why they should not build the temple that God wanted them to do. And Haggai came and said, be strong and work. And we talked about that. And Haggai was the guy who was practical. He was the one that was out there doing the work alongside with them. Zechariah is a little bit different. He's more of like a visionary. He has his head up in the clouds. He has those 10 visions in one night. And it's something that you'll see that you need people like that to work hand in hand together. And here in Zechariah, he is going to be an encouragement to this remnant that returned. And he's going to tell them, look, do not look at your current circumstances. Look ahead to the future. See God being in control. Seeing God is in charge of everything. And I think you'll see that a little bit. First, let's look at the name Zechariah. Not all the time do we give or recognize what the name and what it means, but I think it's important in Zechariah here. His name means whom Jehovah remembers. And that's we see that he was the son of Berechiah. His name means Jehovah blesses. His father's name, the son of Iddo, which means the appointed time. You take those three different names and the meaning of those three different names and the message that is being delivered to these people, and it is rich in meaning, and it suggests encouragement given to this remnant. Remember, this group has gone through 70 years in Babylonian captivity. This group is discouraged. They're going, and he's coming to this spot, and they come back. He says, okay, you need to build. Now, they're amongst a bunch of rubbish. There is not anything there that's encouraging. They don't have a powerful army. They don't have a constitution. They have everything around them is nothing but discouragement. And God sends Haggai and he says, look, be strong and build. And God sends Zechariah alongside Haggai and he says, don't look at your current circumstances, but instead look to the future. The Lord of hosts is giving you a command. And that's what he says up here. And when we see this, he says, Jehovah remembers, Jehovah blesses at the appointed time. These three messages together tells this group, hey, look, God is going to remember, and at the appointed time, God will bless. And that's the story and a message that I think we need to hear today. When we look around, we see all the adversity that we're facing. Sometimes we can become discouraged. Sometimes it seems like we're not accomplishing anything. Sometimes it seems like it wouldn't even matter if we stopped working. But the Bible is telling us here in Zechariah with these three men's names, he's saying, look, God will bless at the appointed time. Not only do you see the name Zechariah, think about the man Zechariah here. This man Zechariah, to give you a little history there, the Jewish Targum states that Zechariah was slain in the sanctuary, and that this Zechariah was both the prophet and the priest. There are those who identify Zechariah as the one mentioned by our Lord having been slain in Matthew chapter 23. Now, once again, this is a little background information. We always try to tell you a little bit about the individual. Now, most people do not agree with that because of Josephus's work and his history said it was a different Zacharias, but those are just some different thoughts. We do know the time period that he was prophesying is 520 BC. Zechariah was a contemporary with Haggai, but you also see that he's called a young man in chapter number 2 and verse number 4. So it gives you an idea a little bit about this man. He did give his life for his calling. He gave his life as a prophet and a priest there. Each book of the Bible, we try to get an eternal, permanent value out of. It's why the book is written there. And I've mentioned and alluded to it already. This book, I believe, in its permanent value, it reveals or is the revelation of seeing the power and persistence of God even during difficult times. Can you imagine if you came back to this land, you see nothing but rubbish, you see nothing but burning, all these different things, you're coming back, this remnant here, and they go, they build their own houses, they make excuses why they can't do God's work, and they're told now by the prophet, you need to go do the work, they're discouraged, and Zechariah comes alongside and says, look, you need to see the power and persistence of God. The book has been accurately described as the apocalypse of the Old Testament. So what do you mean by apocalypse? Most of us would know that. It says that has something to do with the end times. Well, if you go and you look up the book, the word apocalypse in the dictionary, it actually means the removal of something that hides. It's an unveiling. It's a revealing. What Zechariah is, he is the great unveiler of the Old Testament of the future things and future times that are coming. He was unveiling the future. He was calling these people to look through the circumstances, to see beyond, to see the future. And that is what faith is all about, is that we look past what we're going through right now and we see the God that's in control. We see the end. We know that we're working for a purpose and we're working for a plan. And here he talks about the end times. It's kind of interesting. You see, Zechariah was the only Old Testament prophet, maybe the only person that was a prophet in all the Bible that writes this in Jerusalem or in the nation of Israel. We learned about Daniel this past year. He was in Babylon when he wrote his. Where was John? He was on the island of Patmos. And many of the other characteristics, when they talk about the end times, they are done outside. But Zechariah here, he is in Israel. And what Zechariah is getting them to do is say, stop looking at your circumstances. And instead, he says, look at the wider circumstances. Look at the divine government and activity of God. So when we see this book of Zechariah, you keep these ideas, and as you're looking at these passages of scriptures, and you say, okay, what does this mean? What did this mean? Zechariah is telling the people about the future. He's trying to encourage them. Yes, today may seem hard. Yes, today may seem impossible, but you serve a God that's in control. Next thing I want you to see here, not only is that, is the difference between Haggai and Zechariah. We have mentioned this a little bit already. We recognize this earlier. The atmosphere was the same. He delivered his message. They were looking back at a conscience of a history which was once glorious and shameful. The history of God dealing with them was full of glory. The history of dealing with God was full of shame. This book wouldn't make any sense if we hadn't seen all the other books ahead of time. If we hadn't seen the fact that God created the heaven and the earth, and how God brought Abraham out and he began a nation with Abraham, and through that nation he was going to send a deliverer, he was going to send a savior. And we've watched step by step, from book by book, as it gives us interpretation of what's going on and what happens in Jerusalem and where Jesus Christ is coming through. They had to rebuild this temple, and we talked about how in Haggai how it said that this temple could be just as much glorious as the previous ones. And remember, why is the temple being built again? To get to be destroyed? No. Who's going to be entering the temple here in hundreds of years? It's Jesus. He's going to be the one coming into the temple. Every time you see a temple built, it's because Jesus Christ is going to come after the first building. But you see the second one, you see he's coming. And then you see the one that's going to be at the end times when it's rebuilt. It's because Jesus is coming back. And so this is something we got to understand here. It looks hopeless for the people. The immediate outlook was difficulty and discouragement, but the hope of the nation was practically extinguished. But the teaching of this value of this book is, hey, there's God is in control. It's a divine government. The first message of Zechariah, it was delivered between the two messages of Haggai. His first message was to try to urge the people to listen to Haggai. And that's where we come to in Zechariah's first message. That's where we come here in Zechariah chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Same message that we have today that God gives to us. Zechariah chapter 1, verse number 3. Therefore say they thou unto him, thus say the Lord of hosts. In just a second, we're going to explain that phrase, Lord of hosts. Turn ye unto me, say the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, say the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear and hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Now Zechariah was here, and in his first message, he's trying to get the people to say, hey, look, you need to listen to Haggai. He's not being a visionary at this moment in time. He comes between two of Haggai's messages. How do you know that? Because the date is given to us. The time period is given to us. And he is saying to them, hey, you need to listen to Haggai. And he says, this is your history. And I think it's interesting. The Lord reveals his will. You go and you listen to this story, and it says, therefore that say unto, thus saith the Lord of hosts. You know, God is speaking to them. God gave them prophets. You see where it says the prophets of old. God gave them prophets to reveal his will. This is the great thing about us. And the great thing about us as Christians today, God has given you his will. His will is found in the Bible. His will is found over and over in the Bible. You say, Pastor, I don't know what God wants me to do 10 years from now. You do know what God wants you to do today. God tells you in his word, he wants you to be thankful. He tells you he wants you to be faithful. He tells you he wants you reading his word. He tells you he wants you praying. He tells you he wants you being a witness. He tells you he wants you to live a holy life. Now, you might not know all the details, but you have enough to go by, and God will reveal the rest. Most of us want to know what's going to happen 10 years, and we decide whether we want to be faithful or not. That's not the case. God's not going to work that way. God's going to work in the way that he reveals his will. And the Lord calls men back to himself. Isn't this great? He says here, therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me. He's saying, I want you to come back to me. He has always told us through his prophets, and we learned and we saw prophets back in the Samuels and the Kings. We saw how the nation had changed and how God no longer was working no longer did they want a theocracy. They wanted a man. They wanted a king to be in charge. God did not work through the kings. He did not speak through the kings. He spoke through the prophets, and God sent these prophets to proclaim the truth that was being given. And we learned this as we look at book upon book and add these books. Where does this prophet belong? He belongs right here telling the people exactly what they need to hear. And he's telling them, look, you need to come back. He's calling men back to themselves, and he provides the way for the coming. And then he says, he gives them a promise here in verse number four. In verse number three, he says, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. So not only is he saying, hey, look, you've done wrong, you've done bad, don't be like your fathers, return unto me. And God's saying, I will return unto you. I mean, isn't that wonderful? He's made us a promise. If we're willing to draw nigh unto him, he's going to draw nigh unto us. He has never left us. He's never forsaken us. But we have walked away from God. We have forgotten about God. And that's what these people are doing. And that's what this nation is doing. And Zechariah is here saying, look, God is calling you back to himself. God says, when you come back, he says, I will return to you. And he will return to them. And he does this in the power and the might of his Holy Spirit. Here in Zechariah chapter 4, 6, that wonderful phrase that most probably already know that by heart. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord of hosts. Now, you look what it says in verse number 4. He says, don't be like your fathers. He says, be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried. They knew God's will. They knew exactly what they were supposed to do. The fathers refused, and that's why they ended up in Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. In verse number 5, he kind of gets put pretty bluntly out there, and I appreciate when people are blunt, at least if they do in the right manner. Verse number 5, he says, your fathers, where are they? He says, where did your fathers end up? They did not listen. They did not serve God like he asked them to do. And where did they end up? They're dead. And where are the prophets today? They're gone too, but their message is still being true. Look what it says. And the prophets, do they live forever? No. But the word lives forever. The story is the same passage, the same story, the same message that's been preached throughout all the Old Testament. It's, look, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Return unto me. And the father said no. Because they said no, they ended up in Babylon. And that's what Zechariah is trying to encourage these people. Stand up, be strong, and work. But where is the strength found at? The strength is not found in just motivation and encouragement. Okay, I can do it, I can do it. It's found in having faith in the future. It's found in seeing the faith that God can and will in the end work all things out for his good. And that's what he's saying. Look, your fathers did not believe, and because your fathers did not believe, they were punished. Now, there's another phrase here I want you to look at. And once again, I know we're getting off track here a little bit, but I think it helps interpret the book a little bit if you read the book. It's this phrase, Lord of hosts. Now, you come to this phrase, you're not going to find it in the book of Genesis. You don't find it in Exodus. You don't find it in the Leviticus. You don't discover it in Numbers or Deuteronomy. You don't discover it anywhere in the Pentateuch. You don't even see it in Joshua. You don't even see it in Judges. It comes about in the first book of Samuel. And when you say, why was that important? Well, once again, if you go back to our study and our survey, what happened in 1 Samuel? The people looked at God and said, no longer do we want you to rule over us. We want to be like everybody else. We want a king. And Samuel said, hey, no, you don't want a king. The king's going to do this to you. The king's going to do that to you. The king's going to do this. No, they wanted a king. And you see that after 1 Samuel, they began using this phrase, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah repeated it. Jeremiah repeated it. Zechariah used it more than any other prophet 53 times. And this majestic and wonderful title, it appears between just a short minor prophet because he's trying to tell the people he is the Lord of hosts. He is the one in charge. He is the one that's high in majesty. He's the divine ruler of the world. This phrase, Lord of hosts, meant something to the people. This group had come back. This remnant had come back. Their families had been destroyed. Their country had been destroyed. And Zechariah is saying, it's the Lord of hosts. It's like me saying, the God of the universe. It's the one that is in complete control. He is the one saying, come back to me. Come back to me. And we need to listen to him. Now, try to help explain this Lord of hosts again. Think about this. To understand the meaning of this word, you have to look how it is used prophetically. It's not merely a study of the actual words. But instead, it's a place where we find in the Bible these different thoughts. It's used as Lord of hosts. It's talked about stars. It's talked about angels. It's talked about Israel. It's talked about the number of armies of other nations. It's the idea of a great host. And the idea is the significance of this fact is whatever the title meant when it first employed, it came ultimately to be known as that the Lord is sovereign and the Lord and master of the universe. So when Zechariah comes to these people and says, the Lord of hosts, this means something to the people. So if you're looking to see the interpretation here of Zechariah, why it's found in the Bible, Zechariah is trying to explain to the people over and over, it's the Lord of hosts. It's the supreme Lord and master of the universe. And that's what he wants them to understand. That's what he wants them to get. That's the message he wants them to hear, is look past your circumstances and look at the Lord of the hosts. He's the one in charge. He's the one leading, and he is the one directing. Now, we don't have we don't have time to go through all the different visions. But Zechariah's second messenger, or the second part, all the way from chapters 1 through 6, talks about these 10 different visions. You got the riders of the myrtle trees, the four horns, the four smiths, the man with the measuring line, Joshua and Satan. That's a wonderful passage of scripture there. It talks about the brand that's plucked out of the fire. It's a wonderful story there. The branch and representation of Jesus, the lampstand and two olive trees, the flying scroll, the woman in the ephah, and the four chariots. So we don't have time to look at all those today, but that at least gives you a breakdown of what the book of Zechariah has to deal with. Chapter number, the third part, or the third message, there is brought into question a religious ritual. Pretty much what he's saying is, remember all those fasting you've done for the last 70 years? Did you do that for me? That's what God is saying to them. Did you really do that for me? Because when you stopped doing it, you went to eat for yourself. And he began to question in their mind and says, why are you doing these rituals? Why are you doing these things? And it goes right to the heart of the issue. If your heart is right, the ritual is right. When your heart is wrong, the ritual is wrong. For 70 years, they kept on doing the things that they were supposed to do. And the guys are religious or spiritual things. But God even shows that concerning this in chapter number 8, his purpose for Jerusalem was unchanged by any ritual. So that's a wonderful passage of scripture. If you want to look at chapter number 7, have an understanding there. And it's just asking a simple question. Why do you do the things you do? Cuts right to the heart. Okay, why are you reading your Bible? Why are you praying? Why are you at church? Is it because you love the Lord? Is it because you want to worship the Lord? These is Zechariah is just hitting him right at the heart and saying, why are you doing these things? Last but not least, and the fourth part of the book, and once again, we're just giving a quick overview here, is the prophetic burdens in chapters 9 through 11. It talks about his first coming. Chapters 12 through 14 is in dealing with his second coming. So those are a lot of the things there that goes along with the book. I wanted to get to the living truth this morning because I think this is the part that's going to help us more than anything else. And like I told you, I think it's going to all make sense for you. Here in this living truth is our eternal permanent value was it reveals unto us the persistence and power of God. Here's the living truth. What do you take from Zechariah? I think the living truth is use faith as your weapon or your secret weapon so you can be strong in work. Haggai, his charge was to be strong in work. But the supreme message of Zechariah is in his revelation of the secret strength of faith. Faith is what God's plan is. And that's what he's telling the people. I see your discouragement. I see your adversity. I see everything that you're going through. But God wants you to look past all that, and he wants you to see through to the end. Take your Bibles and look to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, you have the story of Abraham and this great, many people call, hall of faith. And a wonderful passage of scripture talking about how Abraham had to look past his current circumstances, and what was he looking for? He was looking for a country. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that's what we need to be looking for. We need to say, we're strangers and we're pilgrims amongst all this adversity here, but my eyes are not focused on here and now. My eyes are focused to someday in the future. Here in Hebrews chapter number 11, let's look at verse number 8. It says, Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. They had a promise. You know, we have a promise. The nation of Israel had a promise also. And he says in verse number 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. His eyes were focused on the prize. His eyes were focused on that promise. Verse number 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the skies in the multitude, and as the sands which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died. Now this is the key verse here in this text. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They did not get the final fulfillment of their promise. He says, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. This is what Zechariah is trying to get the people to do. Your job here is more important than just the here and now. Look past your adversity. Look past the circumstances. Don't look narrowly around at those things, but instead look up to the end. Look up to what things are far off. And he says, and we're persuaded of them. Are we persuaded by those things that are far off? Are we persuaded by the fact that someday we'll stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ? Are we persuaded by the fact that there are those who are lost and dying that are going to hell? Are we persuaded by rewards? Are we persuaded? What is it we're persuaded by? And he says those things that persuaded them, and that next phrase, and embraced them. They didn't embrace the circumstances. They didn't embrace the hardships of the day. They embraced the promises. They embraced those things that were far off and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is what Zechariah is trying to get across to the people that are facing this horrible task that lies before them. Everything seems wrong. They have no constitution. They have no strong powers. They have nothing but the promises of God and a requirement and a commandment to get up and do something and work for the Lord. And Zechariah is saying, look, don't look at the things today. Instead, look for the future. In verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They were looking for the promise that God had given them, and that it was in the future. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If their focus would have lost on the things in the future, if they were not embraced, if they did not embrace them, if they were not persuaded by them, they would have returned back to their old lives. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country. You know what? If we are mindful of this world, we're going to turn back. But when we keep our eyes focused on him, that's when we're going to embrace the promises that God's given us. We're going to be persuaded by them. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country. They were not satisfied with this world. Now, we all want a better country. But if we're pilgrims and strangers in this world, we got a better country that we're working towards. And it says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city. Man, that was the message of Zechariah in here. It's just the idea that things were tough, things were hard. It didn't seem like anything was going right for them. And this Zechariah comes and he says, look, be strong and work. But the way you're going to find your strength is not in how much you can muster up. It's not in how much you can do yourself. Your strength's going to be found in faith. Faith in what? Faith in the promise. Embracing the promise. Seeking that heavenly country and not seeking the earthly rewards. Apostle Paul puts it this way. Apostle Paul, when he, in his difficulties and discouragement, he wrote, inspired by God, obviously, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, 18, for which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, now, this guy is saying light affliction, and we all know that the Apostle Paul didn't have, in the world standards, a light affliction. The world standards, you know, the shipwrecks, the beatings, all the things, it was not a light affliction. It was something heavy to carry around. The disease he had or whatever, the eye condition probably, and all the different things he faced. We read those things in Corinthians about always being hungry, always in nakedness, and always in peril, all those different things. They were not light afflictions, but he says that they are light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is what Zechariah is trying to tell the people. He says, the times may look difficult and hard now, but that's where those visions come in. He says, look to the future. Look what's going to happen. It's the apocalypse. He unveils the future for Jerusalem to the people through the messages. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, we're not looking at the things that are seen here and now. He says, but at the things which are not as seen. That's where our focus needs to be. And that's where Zechariah is trying to get these people to turn their eyes off to the things that they're seeing. And he says, look at those things that are not seen. Through the visions and through the voices and through all those things you read in the book of Zechariah. If you read it again with this understanding that Zechariah is trying to get them to take your eyes off of the circumstances you're around and look to the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts wants you to return them to. The Lord of hosts is the one that's in charge of the stars, the earth, the armies, all those different things, the angels. He says, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. And that's the focus. That's the thing is, are we going to focus on the things that are here and now? They're just going to last. I know it might seem like a long time. I know it might seem like 80 years to 100 years is something that is just overwhelming. And just you have so much to live for and so much time. But the Bible calls those things temporal. But God wants us to focus on those things that will last forever. We'll let those that need to step out, and then we will finish up here. Okay, so what is the eternal permanent value of the book of Zechariah? It's the revelation to these people that God is persistent and his power will last forever. So how do we apply that to our hearts and lives? We take our eyes off of the here and now, and we rise up, we build, we do the work God's called us to do because we have faith in the future. Take this book and think about the example of Abraham, and the example that Paul gives us here. Don't look at the things that are temporal. Look at the things that are eternal. And that's where Zechariah is coming. I know that first half, there might have been a lot of things to grasp in. I know some of you might have taken it all in. Some might have been like, why is he going all this? It's the understanding to help you interpret the book here and says, God wants you to see past your circumstances today and keep your eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, looking for a better country, looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. God has something better planned for you. Do his work today. That's the message of Zechariah. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.